matter how you imagine your life will turn out, whether you'll achieve your life's purpose or not. But oftentimes, and you see this very much of people in the Bible, God puts dreams in their hearts. He puts a call on their lives, but they don't get to see the end game. That, to some, can be somewhat disconcerting. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program, as today we take a look at God's call on your life from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. If we approach life on the basis that it's all about us, that we are at the center of the universe and that everything else has to revolve around us, then it's a disappointing notion to think that we may not get to see all that God has planned to do and to achieve through us. And there are plenty of people who have that perspective. The world is full of "I'm at the center of the universe" kind of people. Sadly, churches are also full of those sorts of people. I'm on Facebook, as you may know, and I saw something the other day that really, really annoyed me. A prominent Christian posted a graphic that said this: "Lord, I thank you in advance for my financial overflow." Really? So I posted this as a response: "Lord, I thank you that you died for me even without the clothes on your back. And Lord, I thank you in advance that you have called me to take up my cross and follow you, no matter where you should lead or how much it may cost me, even if it should cost me my all." Two entirely different perspectives on our faith. One says that it's all about me. The other says it's all about Jesus. Now, I'm not here to tell you that I live my perspective out perfectly every day. I, like you, am a sinner, and I, like you, make plenty of mistakes. But the question is, what's your fundamental perspective? How do you look at this world? With you at the center, or with Jesus at the center? Because if it's you at the center, you are going to be horrified to find out that you won't get to see all the plans that God's purposed to work out involving you. But if you see your world with Christ at the center, then the fact that you won't get to see it all, be involved in it all, get the kudos for it all, will be an absolute delight. Overnight success. As we've seen in this series so far, through the story of Moses, there's pretty much no such thing. Moses spent 40 years in privilege in Pharaoh's house, 40 years alone in the wilderness tending sheep, and then another 40 years leading God's grumbling, complaining, faithless people through the wilderness. And if you read the pithy account recorded many years later in the book of Hebrews, you could easily come to the conclusion that Moses was an overnight success, a bit like Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. Let's have a look. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 29. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. Not half bad. And when you stand back at a distance like that, it seems that Moses was a great success. And yet Moses failed God, and so he never did get to enter the promised land. He didn't get to complete the mission and lead the people across the Jordan into the promised land. He didn't get to see the promise of God fulfilled in his life. Have a listen. Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. The Israelites, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. Miriam died there and was buried there. Now, there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and against Aaron. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had died when our kindred died before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness for us and our livestock to die here? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to bring us to this wretched place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron went away from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of the meeting. They fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and your brother Aaron, and command the rock before their eyes to yield its water. Thus shall you bring water out of the rock for them. Thus shall you provide drink for the congregation and their livestock. So Moses took the staff from before the Lord, as he'd commanded him to do. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, listen, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his staff, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me to show my holiness before the eyes of the Israelites, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I've given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarrelled with the Lord, and by which he showed his holiness. It's pretty harsh. I mean, you read the account in the book of Hebrews, and Moses was this amazing man of faith, really. Yet because of this one small failure, a lapse in his faith, God kills him off before entering the promised land. But listen up. It wasn't about Moses. It was about God. Imagine if Moses had been the one to both lead Israel out of Egypt and then 40 years later lead them into the promised land. The people, God's people, would have ended up worshipping Moses instead of God. And God doesn't share his glory with any man. Moses, as great a leader as he was, as much faith and courage as he had, it wasn't about Moses. It was always about God's plan, which went way beyond the wilderness, way beyond the promised land, through the cross of Christ, down to you and me. Moses, like everyone else, just had a small part to play in a much bigger plan. God is playing the long game, get it? So what does that mean for you and me as we set about laying aside our dreams of becoming an overnight success and step out and start to follow God? What does that actually mean? Well, simply this. Our part, the part that God's given us to play, is going to be challenging. It's going to have setbacks. There'll be times when we have failures. There'll be times when we experience triumphs. But no matter how well suited we are to the part that God's given us to play, the point is that we are bit players with our bit to do, and that's it. And when you think about it, that's exciting. The ripple effect of what Moses did, well, it's reached several thousand years down through history and across the globe today into your life and my life. It's the ripple effect that's exciting. I had someone ask me, how do you know what the impact of your radio programs are? What quantitative measure do you have to tell me what you're doing is worthwhile? The answer is, there's no quantitative measure. Do I know that millions of people are listening around the world? Yes, I do. And I hear the odd story of the terrorist who stopped killing people, the woman who was pulled back from the brink of suicide, the 11-year-old boy whose parents were going through a painful divorce and who met Jesus through these programs. And I thank God for giving me a small part to play in people's lives. And I pray for the ripple effect through them in the lives of others. I pray the former terrorist will lead many more people to Christ, that the woman who was pulled back from suicide will bless her daughter with her love, that the young boy who met Jesus through these programs will be given a powerful part to play in God's plan. That's the ripple effect. God's playing a long game. And if you're on Team Jesus, then the joy, the delight, is to play your part in that long game for His glory. Amen. Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you. Because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in prayer. God's word says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please allow us to pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how He intervenes, how He chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time Monday with a different perspective.